you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. Linda will be back. We'll be here around 8 o'clock today. We've got friends in, and so she's getting them on the road today. I'm here with Bad Bob, though. Good morning, Bad Bob.
And greetings.
7:06 in the morning here, June the 17th. And 530-605-4567 is our phone number, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. We got veteran stuff on today with Brad Long, and we've got we're talking with Shasta Regional about emergency planning here. Plus, I've got a number of things I'd like to discuss, including the troops deploying to Iraq. Our border is under attack, yet you wouldn't know it. Reading is helping out Bella Vista with water. People going to trial. Famous people. Well, I shouldn't say famous, but they're famous for us. But let's start off with our friends from our Wells Fargo Advisors and Susan Eastman. Good morning, Susan Eastman.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, everyone. Well, major averages are starting out mixed this morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 2 points at 16,783. The S&P 500 is off fractionally at 1937. The NASDAQ composite is positive 14 points at 4,335. The three most actively traded stocks on the big board, Coca-Cola up 12 cents at 40.78, Bank of America positive 6 cents at $15.34, Medtronic Incorporated up $1.42 at $61.45. For local stocks of interest, PepsiCo up 30 cents at $87.86, PG&E down a nickel at $46.82, AT&T up 12 cents at $35.09. Bond prices are lower with the 10-year Treasury note price yield 2.62%. And for commodities, gold is down $6 an ounce at $12.68, silver off 3 cents at $19, and crude oil down 15 cents, trading at $106 a barrel. That's the market for now. This is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors for KCNR.
Hey, Susan, thanks a lot. We have our Wells Fargo Advisors on Monday through Friday at 708-808-908 right here. The pathway to financial solvency, to financial freedom. Find out how from our Wells Fargo Advisors. I mean, they're right here in town. They're experts on what they do. You can call them at 243-7561 and then stop by and see them. I'm telling you, these are people that we've had them on the show before. I've talked to all of them on several occasions, and I am just absolutely positive they're there to help you. Bad Bob, what's the weather look like today?
Beautiful, mild day today. High around 86. Low tonight will be around the 60-degree mark. Then things start warming up. We move into the 90s tomorrow. And by the weekend, we could be back pushing into the triple digits. Currently in Reading, we are looking at 60 degrees. The report is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. 365-3793. They offer senior and veterans discounts at Shasta Gas Propane.
You know, the some things that are happening around town here that in the state. You know, one of the things, and Bob, hop in here, but I was under the impression that the high-speed rail had been stopped because the a judge had said, you know what, there's too many things. You guys lied about it. You know, we're not going to – you've got to stop doing this because until all this is settled.
It's like the whack-a-mole of government spending.
Well, the budget, this $108 billion budget, the largest ever, approved on Father's Day, by the way, has $250 million this year from the state's cap and trade greenhouse gas emissions fund, and it's the promise of a 25% of all future cap and trade revenue each year, which could eventually total $3 billion to $5 billion a year to go to the high-speed rail.
To connect two places that nobody even wants to go.
And it's got court challenges. It's got it has left it with little operating cash and uncertain political support that they think that the ongoing revenue will be enough to leverage bond borrowing. Well, you know what? here's the thing is that the people need to have another initiative here and kill this thing. Look at this. All this money is going to go to this, and yet we still are talking about, oh, we don't have money for our we don't have money for freeways to fix these freeways, well, and we don't have money for education, and we don't have money for veterans, but we sure have enough money for a high-speed rail that goes nowhere because it was somebody's great, great idea.
Well, it's really not a high-speed rail. It's the kind of fast rail, isn't it?
That's right. It's not even high-speed.
The kind of speedy.
It stops. It has to stop.
Sort of moving along, you know.
You know, I guess I'm thinking that all the, you know, I see all these problems that are going on here. And I see things like, you know, that start, like our troops are deploying to Iraq again, albeit only 275, about 275 in that general area. They're going there to reinforce the embassy. And why are they reinforcing the embassy in Baghdad? It's because ISIL, ISIL. The Iraqi, was it the Islamic?
ISIS or ISIL, depending on
ISIL.
Who you ask.
ISIL. No, but yeah, I had it all written down what it meant. What
the Levant. It's Islamic State of Iraq in the Levant.
Okay, is the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant.
ISIL. Which is an ancient term.
Well, I wrote something on the blogs yesterday about mass killings in Iraq, and it's on reading.com under Time Under the Helmet, and I write military stuff there, sometimes more. And what it said was is the fact they're killing hundreds, maybe thousands, lining them up, shooting them, cutting their heads off. And mass killings they are going in because the jihadists, they said, by the way, they're also setting up Sharia law. You know, they've taken Mosul, they've taken Tikrit, they're taking others, and they're moving down toward Baghdad. And this is just pathetic, first of all. But then, and they talked about these mass killings, and, you know, and they're using it as an example, or they're using it for a reason that one of their leaders from ISIL was killed. And I thought about this. I've spent a lot of time in Iraq, way too much of my life, way too much of my life in the Middle East, and doing, you know, fighting Islamic jihadists. And all over. I mean, it's not just in Iraq. I mean, we, you know, it's other places too. Anyway, but, you know, they're using this as an example of using this. This is the reason why we're murdering, slaughtering all these people. And I thought about it that they don't need a reason. I've been in Iraq a lot. And you talk to guys who've been, men and women been in Iraq, they don't need a specific reason to kill each other. Yeah, you can see Sunnis killing Shias and Shias killing Sunnis. But Sunnis kill Sunnis and Shias kill Shias all the time, and then the Kurds will kill both of them and then kill and then shoot people in their own neighborhood. But they all have one thing in common. They will all kill Americans. And they seem to unite on that every so often. So, you know, this whole thing, so you have to ask yourself, President Obama, do you lay awake at night and think about what you've done to the Middle East? What you have propagated, what you have encouraged, what you have done by not doing things in the Middle East. Egypt. You know what? They've got thousands of people condemned to death from the Muslim Brotherhood because the military has taken over Egypt because of the Arab Spring has turned totally into dog poo. And then you've got Libya. Okay, who's running Libya? Which rebel faction runs Libya? And gee, it was Libya that we lost our ambassador in Benghazi, right? And what was the end result of that? Oh, we don't know yet because nobody wants to talk about it. You all don't want to talk about
it. What doesn't matter?
What doesn't matter? You know, oh, I'm sorry it happened. You know, frankly, Obama, okay, and then that's Libya. Now look, in Syria is going back and forth. You got the Russians involved, you know, the Assad, you know, he's still winning in there. And because of Syria, and this is from your own Secretary of State, that's led to ISIL coming into Iraq. And so the Iraqis are actually dealing with the Iranians and bringing in the Revolutionary Guards to help fight for Baghdad. Do you realize how screwed up this is? Where is your foreign policy on the Middle East? People say, Obama's a Muslim. I don't believe that. I don't even know if he's Christian. But if he is a Muslim, they ought to be really upset because he has chewed up the Middle East by his things he has done and things he hasn't done. Mainly the things he hasn't done. President Obama, do you lay there at night even thinking about this?
Yeah,
in between your grounds of golf, do you think about what's happened in the Middle East to thousands of people? But hundreds of thousands are being displaced, thousands being murdered. and all that's going on since your foreign policy on the Middle East seems to have been every man for himself. After you tore down their governments. We'll be right back.
Pizza Shack. Even the commercials are homemade.
This is awesome, Uncle Vince.
Are you ready to make your first Mary's delivery?
Yeah, what are we delivering?
You can order anything off Mary's menu for delivery. So we have spaghetti with meatballs, tortellini, bruschetta, chicken parmigiana, gnocchi.
Shh. Eyes on the road. Hands at 10 and 2.
10 and 2?
Test the horn.
I'm not going to test the horn.
Horn check.
Thanks for testing the horn. It works.
How's the engine temperature?
It's fine.
Maybe I should check on the meatballs, in case they're rolling around back there.
No.
This is a pretty nice car. This isn't your car, is it?
Yeah, this is my car.
Really? Huh. Wow, wouldn't have guessed that.
Original recipes. Original Shack. Mary's Pizza Shack. Complete menu available for dine-in, takeout, and delivery in downtown Reading and at the Shasta outlets on Highway 273.
It's no secret the violent crime rate is up in Reading. As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to work hard and provide our community with quality firearms. The good guys at Bastiani Arms, they're real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Come talk to Seth Stoat. Seth has over 20 years' experience in firearms. Come learn the value, security, and peace of mind of owning a personal firearm. Sign up for a CCW class, women-only CCW classes, or hunter education. Come to Bastiani Arms and see how you can win a Colt Python 357. All proceeds go to the Military Order of Purple Hearts. Call 222-8222. Bastiani Arms on the corner of Larkspur and Wall Street in Reading. Bastiani Arms. Join the revolution.
Hey, this is your pipe talking. Don't put that baby wipe down the toilet. Didn't you know that disposable doesn't always mean flushable? Cleaning wipes and baby wipes do not dissolve and get stuck in poor old sewer pipes like me. And I get backed up. Please, throw used wipes in the trash so I can continue to breathe and not clog your sewer pumping equipment. You know the cost to hire a plumber to unclog me typically ranges from $75 to $350? And that doesn't include the time it takes you to clean up the sewage that may have backed up. So pass the word on to everyone who cleans your home or business, too.
Be kind to your plumbing and remember, wipes clog pipes. Throw used wipes in the trash. In addition to wipes, kitchen grease, kitty litter, plastic, and latex items can all clog pipes and should be bagged or contained and placed in the trash. A public education project by Reading Municipal Utilities. For questions or more details, call 224-6068.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to 1 to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to 1 on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back. Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR, 1460. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you. We just talked about it, but I want to talk about it some more. Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms on Larkspur, 2539 Larkspur. Besides just having all the guns and ammo you could possibly want, and great service. They pride themselves on their customer service there, and it's just outstanding. John Bastiani is offering a Colt Python 357 as part of a raffle, and all the proceeds are going to the Military Order of the Purple Heart, our local chapter here. Now, you can't buy a Colt 357 python anymore. They're not, you know, you just can't buy them in the state of California. One, they've stopped making them, but into the, you just can't buy them unless it's from a private individual. This is John's gun. It's 98%. In other words, you've got brand new guns, 100%. This one's 98%. Tickets are $10. You can get 12 for $100 at Bastiani Arms. And the drawing's going to be on 4th of July. So you just have a couple more, you know, a couple weeks to get this. But, you know, this is just a fantastic pistol. It is an icon. It is an icon of revolvers, the Colt. And, you know, you think about this for a as a present for a loved one. Give it a shot. Go out there, buy your tickets, and remember, it's all going to the Military Order of the Purple Heart. Give them a call at 222-8222 at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur. And by the way, according to the Supreme Court, you may not buy a gun for somebody else. Even if that person is legally able to buy the gun, you can't buy it for somebody else and then transfer it to them. Okay. It's the straw gun purchase.
Which would preclude things like birthday purchases, possibly.
If you are buying it for another person. The law says is you can't buy a gun for another person.
Yeah.
And what happened is this policeman bought this gun for his uncle. And his uncle wrote him a check, and on the bottom of the check said for the, you know, for the Glock. And so there was a paper trail there. Well, for other things happened, and there was a robbery, and all this stuff happened, came out. Not that, you know, nobody was charged, and it was, you know, they weren't being charged, but the possession of the gun came up, and they said you can't buy another gun because you fill out paperwork that says I am buying this gun for myself. And that's the way it is in California, remember?
Yeah.
When you buy a gun, it says, I am buying this gun for myself. So what it, and so the idea behind this is, of those straw purchases, is that you go out and buy 10 guns, and then you turn around and you give them to criminals.
I see that logic, but I also see this as just one more increment.
Yeah. Well, you see, the thing about it is that it's not written real well. And this is what, it was a 5-4 decision. And he said this was the federal government's elaborate system of background checks and record-keeping requirements to help law enforcement investigate crimes by tracing guns to the buyers. And they said the provisions would mean little if the would-be gun buyer could evade them by simply getting another person to buy the gun and fill out the paperwork. Well, that's true. On the other hand, what they've done is they've taken a legal case where a guy buys it for his uncle. And then, you know, they get hammered with it. And so he's found guilty on this one. He's not providing guns to the cartel. Who was providing guns to the cartel? Oh, yeah, Holder. And the,
Senator Lee.
And Senator Yee. These are guys that were doing it. Holder and Fast and Furious, they were providing thousands of guns. I don't see any of them going to court. They were encouraging that guns go across the border. Eric Holder, the Attorney General of the United States, his group it was. Do you see any of them in jail? Do you see any of them? Have any of them even gone to court for providing semi-automatic weapons and pistols and shotguns and rifles and 50 cal sniper guns? Do you see any of them who have ever gone to court for this? And yet you get this one guy who buys a pistol for his uncle, and it goes all the way up to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Is this something or what? Does this just torque your jaws?
Yeah.
Just another one. You know, if you're going to prosecute people, prosecute them all, or you don't prosecute any of them.
Equal under the law.
Yeah, that's what I say. Here, let's move on. Let me go into our borders under attack. Our border, what is the two things a nation must have? A common language, yes. A rule of law, yes. And a border. We no longer have a southern border. Our border is under attack. It's under attack by children, gang members, and thousands of people. And why? Permisio. Permisio. They believe, and it's in their papers, on their TV, that President Obama has said, you come to our country and you can stay. Especially the children. Let the children come across. They can stay. And you know what? they're right. Because you're hearing already, well, these children, these thousands of children that have been pushed across the border, they all need lawyers. Because they need lawyers. They have the right to a lawyer that, of course, we're paying for at $250 an hour to keep them from going back across the border. Why? Put them all in buses, take them to the border, and push them across. Give them to the Mexicans. Let them take care of it. Of course, you know what they'll do. They'll load up their buses, take them down to the nearest spot, dump them off across the border. And our Border Patrol, in the midst of all of this, where they're making sandwiches instead of catching people, they're changing the rules of engagement for the Border Patrol so that they can't use deadly force, even if they're under attack. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Mr. Obama. Again, and what's Obama doing when this whole thing, is he calling out the National Guard? Why doesn't he call out the National Guard along the border there to help? To get put the let them grab these kids, feed them, and let the Border Patrol try and stop. They're seeing gang members coming across. And you know if they're gang members coming across, there's other criminals coming across. How about terrorists coming across at this point? Because we're overrun because of the policies of Obama, policies of the Democrats, policies of some Republicans. What's wrong with shutting the border down, then getting into immigration reform? Has anybody had this concept? Does anybody even address this concept? And in the middle of this, we turn around in the state of California and see how we're going to spend in this $105 billion budget, which is the largest it's ever been. We're spending millions on illegal driver's licenses. Illegal immigrant driver's licenses. And we haven't even figured out what they look like yet. There should be a stripe right across it that says, you can tell right then, illegal. It can't be like a little number on it someplace. It's got to say on, it's got to be like a big red line on the back or on the side of it or something, a big stamp that shows somebody climbing a fence or something like that, swimming a river that I'm here illegally. That's it. I'm here illegally. But I get everything that you as a citizen get. And you know what? I'd like to have a scholarship too, please. Hey, and by the way, did you get this one? One of the, I swear this is absolutely true. One of the state senators said, I think this stupid law that we teach English, you know, we teach all of our schools in English is wrong. We shouldn't teach all these classes. And some of these we should teach in foreign languages. It'll help them learn. Can you believe that? So that we now, our official policy of teaching classes in California in English is under attack. I wish I could make this stuff up.
The wheels are wobbling severely.
Can I make this up? Am I making this up? I'm not making this up.
You wish you were.
I wish I was making. I wish I was just making this stuff up so you could just go, oh, Carl, you're just making this up. You know what? I'm not making it up. Now, I'm not only not making it up, it's getting worse. It's not getting any better. Okay, there is something that's getting better, though. Redding has got a deal to transfer 1,200 acre-feet of water to Bella Vista for only $175, which is the going rate, to help them out during the summer. Now, you know, of course, Redding is the one that brokered the McConnell water deal. You know, the McConnell Foundation, they wonder why people get upset with them. Okay, here it comes. Let me tell you why. McConnell Foundation had a chance to sell water to Glynn County and the Glide Water District in Glynn County. But they couldn't do it because it was going to cost them a lot of money. And as we talked to the water guys here, it's going to cost them a lot of money because if you send it out of the county, it's going to cost a lot of money. They, you know, you get penalties and fines and all this. So what McConnell Foundation and the city did, now this is the best part. The city, you know, says, oh, I'll buy the water from you at this price. And then they turn around and sell it to Glynn County. This is when Bella Vista is dying out there for no water. These are our elected leaders there. Tell me that we don't need a change in there someplace. Instead of getting water to Bella Vista and you know, where there's residents of Redding living out there, no, let's sell it to Glynn County. Oh, hey, we made $150,000. How much did McConnell Foundation make off that? Huh? I'm just wondering, if they sold this much and it was $750 an acre foot and the going price is what, $125? Let me think about that. Anyway, So now they're going to get, they've worked out a plan for $175 per acre foot, which is the going rate on the market. So what was the other $750? What was that other, well, that would have been another, what's that other $500, $600 an acre foot they were making? No, you just have to ask yourself. Sometimes you wonder.
Yeah.
You know, and I haven't even gotten to other stuff, but we have guests here. You know, I hadn't even gotten to the part about Dolores Lucero is getting ready to go to trial. Mm. They're starting to pick jury today. How can you do that? And then the August, you know, the family in the pot case, Bells, is that his name? This is the Benno. The head, you know, the ones that are abdicating pot. He and his sons are all in jail. Anyway, okay, here we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, Brad Long. We're going to be talking about things that are happening with the veterans this week and some things that are happening in the near future. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460. You know, this is a lot of stuff going on today, and there's even more. So if you got things on your mind, give us a call. You know, this portion of the show has been brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, right here in Reading. Estate jewelry at its very best. Leonard has the only trained watch repair guy here in town and who can repair any watch and does just an outstanding job on that. And Leonard has great deals on all of his jewelry, but you have to stop by 2225 Hilltop and talk to Leonard or give him a call, 222-2750, Four Winds Jewelry. We'll be right back.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Thanks to everybody who helped out with the junior livestock sale. Meantime, back at the salt mine, we're filling propane bottles, one right after another. That keeps Gary hopping. Robin in Corning is very busy with all the farmers and ranchers, so stop in and say hi. She loves our customers. In Weaverville, stop and see Diana. She is selling a lot of red and clear diesel and can fill your motorhomes and barbecue bottles. In Redding, we got another truckload of ethanol-free 93 and race car fuel. If you're one of us that's been blessed with new diesel trucks or pickups that take DEF urea fluid, give us a call. We have small jugs and big totes and can save you money. Johnny's back from cattle college, so if you're thinking of upgrading your heater, now's the time. Give him a call and talk about the new or used heater. Northern Lights Energy, small business, family owned. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Hi, I'm Vicki Leda from Amazing Foods for Life, gluten-free baking mixes made with ancient grains. At Amazing Foods, we're here to help you make living gluten-free easy and healthy. Often it can be difficult to find fast, easy, and delicious treats. With our cookies, cakes, muffin mixes, you can have bakery fresh in your home in about 20 minutes, while at the same time adding protein and omegas to your diet. Amazing Foods for Life is produced in a dedicated top 8 allergen-free environment. Check us out at AmazingFoodsForLife.com or at Orchard Nutrition Center, Tops Market, and many more.
Ah, yes, this is the life. Sun, surf, sand, living on island time. It's good to take a break. Yeah, maybe someday, but right now, there's work to be done. And if you're a business owner, you know that presenting a professional appearance can make all the difference in the world. That goes double for your office. Usually it's the very first impression people get of your company. Join the dozens of North State businesses that have their commercial spaces professionally cleaned by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Since 1987, Maui Bob and his team have embraced the Aloha spirit, putting their clients first with an emphasis on customer satisfaction. And who knows if your business is more successful because your offices reflect that attention to detail that professional office cleaning gives, maybe you will have more time for that island getaway. Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, on the web at MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Howdy, Redding. Nate Abarea here. It really is a privilege getting to broadcast live sports here on KCNR 1460, and once a week, I even get to host my own talk show. The NorCal Sports Show, presented by Tavan Car Wash, can be heard every Tuesday night at 6, right here on Free Fire Radio. Tavan Car Wash is Redding's friendly hometown car wash, and they are proud to be a part of the North State's only local sports radio show. Tune in, call in, let it rip. The NorCal Sports Show, Tuesday night, 6 o'clock, KCNR 1460.
My name is Randy Sprague, and I have PTSD.
My wife Debbie and I would like to invite you to attend a PTSD Community Support Systems workshop on Thursday, June 19th from 7 to 9 p.m. hosted by Mount Calvary Lutheran Church, 396 Alta Mesa Drive. We will give an overview of PTSD, its causes, symptoms, and triggers, and how it affects families, friends, and employers, and how our community can help.
Call Debbie at 247-0170 to ensure adequate seating and handouts.
Now, let's return to Carl and Linda Butt at Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. It is 7:35 in the morning. It's what? What's the temperature right now, Bad Bob? Since I can't see it.
60 degrees.
60 degrees. What a beautiful morning it was. Hey, our phone line's here, 605-4567. I've been railing about the border.
You've been railing
the rock, on about selling water. You know, I mean, given, you know what? Here's our neighbors in Bella Vista, and now we come up with it for $175, but yet we're making, you know what? Is it legal to make money on these deals? I mean, that's what happened the last time they sold. Isn't that kind of like, what do they call that? You're kind of like you've got something and you're going to sell it and you're hoping it gets more. It's kind of like
speculating.
You're speculating. Mm-hmm. Yeah, speculating. Was the city speculating with the water they got from McConnell?
And ultimately, who pays?
Yeah, who pays for that? Oh, yeah. We do. Anyway,
that would be the poor person opening the bill.
Yeah, I tell you what, those guys. Anyway, those little rascals in government, those little rascals, you just got to kind of like watch them and see what they're going to do next, whether they're at the highest level with Mr. Obama all the way down to our city level. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Orchard Nutrition. You know, I can't say enough about them either. I walk in Orchard Nutrition. It smells healthy. I feel healthier. My cholesterol drops just walking in to Orchard Nutrition. Why? Because I know that whatever I buy there is going to be healthy and nutritious. And either the supplements or the organic foods, the raw foods, they have classes in the evenings on everything has to do with health. An in-store nutritionist, four of them, in fact. And you go in there and just say, well, what do you think about this? And they'll just give you a quick class on nutrition. Anything you want, Orchard Nutrition, the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Outstanding. 244-9141 is their phone number. But they're in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Orchard Nutrition is your center for a healthy lifestyle. Joe and his gang down there are just, they are the Huns of nutrition. And that means good things. Speaking of Huns, Brad Long, sir. Hello.
Morning.
Brad Long, the Hun. The Hun who takes care of veterans.
I've got a new nickname, it looks like.
The Hunt. Well, you know, your hair, you know, kind of like, if you need a little helmet with horns on it or something. What's going on here, buddy?
Well, we got Veterans Collaborative coming up on June 24th.
Yeah.
And it's a really neat organization. We have about 40 agencies that are just really specifically concentrated on helping veterans that join together. And we do a lot of networking and sharing information. But we have three specific speakers that we bring on to do presentations. And the first one we're going to have is Phil Allman. Mm-hmm. And he's with an electrical workers group. And he's mentoring returning veterans on getting them into jobs, getting them good paying jobs. They had a really good success here a couple of months ago. They got somebody through lineman school and got him a job with PG&E over in Eureka, I think.
Wow.
And so that's
excellent. That's not like a bad paying job either.
No, that's a good paying job. Yeah. Well above minimum wage there, yeah. And then
it's well above medium wage.
He's working with a couple of veterans right now with some companies here in the local area to try to get them hooked up there too. So we're really looking forward to working with Phil. David Douglas from the VA. He works homeless coordination here with the veterans, and we really want to do our best to get the veterans into some stable housing and help them with that.
There was just something just passed, and that was a huge help, though.
Right?
It should be.
Prop 41.
I was telling everybody to vote for that.
But
there were some questions about it. If it does what they say it's going to do, though.
Well, Prop 41's it's allocating about $600 million that we can use to build permanent supportive housing for veterans who have traumatic brain injury, PTSD, other disabilities. And right now, veterans organizations that are in this business of working in behavioral health and helping the disabled veterans are first in line to get access to this funding. And actually, my organization is trying to identify a couple of sites here that we can build about 40 units of supportive housing for the veterans and their families, so they can.
This isn't like this idea these guys had about building little huts out there for homeless, is it?
No.
Now you need to differentiate with that one, and that this is housing for veterans,
yes,
and their families that may have been homeless. It's the help. Now, are they going to stay in it continuously?
Yeah, it's going to be like condominiums and apartments, and the families can be there, live there. They can, of course, single.
Are they
going to
pay
units.
Any money for this?
Yeah, they're going to pay out of their pocket up to 30% of what they can afford to put in there, and we'll also be supplying services like therapists and people who can help them with their physical disabilities.
Okay, so it's going to be built in the handicapped idea.
Yeah.
For those with handicaps. Now, people are homeless that maybe need help that are there. They're veterans.
That's a whole other program. Those are programs like the Veterans Administration Grant Per Diem program and
so
stuff like that.
The housing you're thinking about building then would be for veterans with jobs. Yeah. And that they just can't – because there's just not enough money.
Yeah.
So this is going to help them with their housing.
Yeah. And they may be on 100% disability.
I am okay with that.
Yep.
You know, but just building things out there and just putting people into it is like not the right way to do it. As long as they're paying part, and that now we're helping our veterans, but we're also giving them hands up and not hands out. That is what you're planning on.
Yeah.
And that's the way it should be.
And Prop 41 is really going to be addressing that.
And Prop 41 took the money out of veterans housing that was never used.
The CalVet home loans.
The CalVet home loans that nobody reused, so it just sits there. So why not use it in something like this now? Especially now with the problems we have with 25 to 30% of our veterans in the ages 18 to 24 are unemployed, maybe higher than that. They're coming out, and we're getting ready to downsize the military. So these people that are sergeants that have got a wife and had a good income, all of a sudden they're out there trying to find a job. An infantry guy who's a hero, is he going to be able to find a job?
Mm-hmm.
Which should be another part of this is retraining our veterans.
And it is. That's another thing that, Veterans Resource Center has been in that business for a while here.
That's true.
And we've been helping to retrain veterans. In our Sacramento unit, we have a program down there where they go through job training, get their resume skills, interview skills, and look at different certification programs or go back to school and get degrees.
Well, I think we can do that. I know Simpson University is reaching out to veterans, and I need to talk to you about that because we had a meeting with them, and they're reaching out also because they know the veterans are coming home. They want to become a bigger part of our community here. Mm-hmm. So there's some people there, that Roger Janice and others, that would love to have more veterans on campus. They've got a number of them, but they would love to have more, and they are set up to try to help veterans.
Yeah.
And then Shasta College, of course, has got a great program going on out there.
Yeah. And Shasta College is one of the co-sponsors of the Collaborative.
Well,
so that's
no
fantastic.
Surprise.
Another speaker that's going to be out there is Bruce Recke from Reading. He's a dog trainer. And his program is going to be hooking up veterans who want dogs with shelter dogs.
This is Vets with Pets?
No, that's
or
a different program.
Pets for Vets?
Pets for Vets
is a different program?
It's a different program, and it concentrates on getting service dogs for veterans. This is just hooking up a veteran with a dog at a shelter and maybe give a little bit of obedience training. So nothing that's specifically aimed at, like, service dogs or companion dogs. This is just, you know, your pet dog.
A veteran can just go down to Haven Humane though and do this, right?
Yeah, but this program will help with some obedience training. And
so he'll train the dogs
stuff
after.
Like that. Yeah.
Well, I'm a veteran. Does that mean I can get him to come over and train Elk Killer?
Sure.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Elk Killer, we'll just ignore him.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So all this, when's this going to happen, Brad?
This is on June 24th at 11:30 at the public library, the Reading Public Library.
June the 24th at the public library.
Yeah.
All right. Great. We'll talk about it more, you know, because that's a week away. In fact, that's a week from today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. You know, Brett, your heart's in the right place, and I'm really glad you're here because you're doing a lot of good work, as are many. We have so many veterans programs going on here. Who's in charge of this?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
Who's in charge? I mean, I look at it like this. There are 50, there's something like 30 veterans organizations here just in the county of Shasta.
Actually, there's 80.
In just in the county of Shasta.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, see, I am so totally – I was, you know what I was going to say? I was going to say 60, and I said, nobody's going to believe 60. I'm not sure it is 60. So it's 80.
Yeah.
So now we've got you who's doing a great job.
Mm-hmm.
We've got people like Debbie Sprague, who is an individual but doing an outstanding job. And by the way, Debbie, who is the author of A Stranger in My Bed and a story about her life with PTSD and her husband. Well, it's her husband who had it, but now everybody has it because once the husband has it, we all have it, or your spouse. And that's going to be at the Mount Lutheran Church on Thursday from 7 to 9 p.m. We'll talk a bit more about that. But she's doing great things. You're doing great things. The VA's doing great things. Rob Burrows, who knows what Rob is? Rob's out there doing everything, and he's flying giant flags around. But he's also got Homeward Bound, I think. Is that right? And then you've got Pets for Vets, Vets for Pets. And what else? Oh, it just, you know, it just keeps going on and on and on.
Everybody's jumping on the
bandwagon. Frankly, if – and I put all the PSAs in there. I mean, if we tried to count out how many PSAs we're playing for this, and a lot of things are going on the same days as others.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all there to help veterans.
Yeah.
Should there be a clearinghouse? Where's the clearinghouse?
And
don't answer that because I got to take a break because I'm going to hold you over for another few minutes, all right? Carl Lindebott, I put Brad Long on the seat. So where's the clearinghouse for all these organizations? And how, you know, people want to help, but they get confused. I mean, Pets for Vets, Vets for Pets. I mean, those two are to help veterans with pets.
Yeah.
One service dog, the other, but the word pet is used.
Well,
I can't answer that. I'm still getting ready to go into the next segment. Carl Lindebott, KCNR 1460.
At Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue, we support our veterans and provide competitive prices and the personal service you can only get from a locally owned eye care professional. If you bring in your recent eye exam receipt, we'll subtract the cost of your eye exam up to $55 from your purchase of a complete pair of eyeglasses. Plus, we'll give you a second pair of glasses absolutely free. This is a standalone offer and not valid with any other offers, discounts, coupons, or insurance programs. Some restrictions apply. Please see the store for details. Sight for Sore Eyes has same-day service, precision crafted lenses, and a large selection of stylish designer frames. Or if your budget is tight, we also have a large selection of budget-friendly frames. Fast service and reasonably priced eyewear and veterans discounts are our specialty. At Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue next to Leslie's Pools, we accept all current doctor's prescriptions, all major credit cards, and we do your insurance paperwork. Sight for Sore Eyes. Call 722-9992 for an appointment today.
This is Ted Leidy with NorCal Firearms Instruction at Sportsman's Warehouse, reminding you that in accordance with California state law, if you currently live with a person who is prohibited from possessing firearms due to state or federal law or mental incompetence, you must lock those firearms up to deny access, or you yourself can be charged with a crime. Call NorCal Firearms Instruction today for your CCW and CCW renewal training, 999-1822, or visit us at readingccw.com to read our reviews or register for a class. This is Ted Leidy, and I will see you at the range.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, local Reading chiropractor, and
Josie Salas-Tynan, holistic health practitioner. Join us on the Positively Healthy Show, where twins talk health. Listen on the first, third, and fourth Saturdays of the month as we talk about health, lifestyle, fitness, and so much more. Streaming on KCNR1460.com from 10 to 11 a.m. We keep you up to date locally and globally. Find out how you can become positively healthy.
You've got to help me. I don't know if I'm going crazy or if my car is possessed. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. The owner's ordeal began after a collision repair, resulting in a car that had a mind of its own. It would suddenly pull violently left or right, but only when he was alone. He had taken the car back to the shop that repaired it. It was test-driven 8 times. Nothing happened. Nobody believes me. They look at me like I'm crazy. Just minutes before he arrived at Coachmaster, the pulling struck again. My inspection revealed necessary framework and wheel alignment had not been corrected from the collision. At Coachmaster, we stock hundreds of blueprints. With this evidence, we proved the owner was not crazy and the car was not possessed. The insurance company authorized us to correct the vehicle. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Carl and the Bot, KCNR 1460. Good morning. It is 63 degrees, and it is the 17th of June. It's a Tuesday. It's 7:50 in the morning. 605-4567 is our phone number, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.bot.com, talking about onion growing. Oh, no, we're talking about stealing water. It's not stealing water. What it is because we have the Sacramento, and it replenishes our groundwater. If you're further away from Sacramento, you don't have groundwater. So we have groundwater, they don't. So we can sell off water. And we're selling it to Bella Vista, which is just outstanding. I love that. This portion of the show at $175 an acre foot, as opposed to $750 an acre foot, which, and we don't even get into that. This portion of the show is brought to you by Sharon Clark and Home Helpers. What can I say about that, too, except she helps veterans. She puts her money where the mouth is. She goes out there, and when she's helping the elderly, and she talks to, finds out they're veterans, is that she immediately calls our Shasta County Veteran Service Office and says, hey, look, there's a guy here or family here that needs some help. They don't know what they can get. So you can do that. Now they've got Brad here that can also assist. But all of Sharon's caretakers are background checked, drug screened, bonded, and insured. This is her 10th year of business. I've met her. I've met many of her caregivers, and they are just outstanding people. They love working for Sharon because she's a good person. She gives give Sharon a call at 226-8350, and she will give you a free in-home consultation about what kind of services you need. Reading Home Helpers, and that's readinghomehelpers.com, too. Bob?
Just wanted to say last night I saw Sharon at the practice for
Dancing with the Stars,
Shasta County Style. Yeah. And Sharon, keep on trucking. She is going.
She's good, huh?
It's a challenge for her physically. It's very physically demanding, as you know. You discover muscle groups you had forgotten about.
But and, you know what? I had a very, very smart partner in Kathy Babcock who did. She figured out I'm a linear kind of guy.
Yeah.
Straight, left, right, back, forward, pick her up in the air, twirl her around, set her down, back, forward, and you win.
And it got you the Judge's Choice Award.
Choice Award.
But Sharon, keep up the good work. Well, you're working hard.
This is another example. Sharon is raising money like a wild woman for One Safe Place under this the Dancing with the Stars, as are the rest of them. Another example of somebody that's doing more than she has to. Okay, and speaking of somebody who does more than he has to, is Brad Long is here with the name of your organization is the
Reading Veterans Resource Center.
Right. Yep. And I should know that I have it written down here, but I, of course, don't read it. And we're getting ready to have a veterans, another veterans collaborative, which, by the way, Mike Wiley was really big into this. And here's another another great guy, mm-hmm. a veteran, part of the Brownwater Navy mm-hmm. in Vietnam. And as we've talked about, Mike, and we with some of his friends, and what we said about Mike, I think, went to his family. They downloaded it from here. But Mike passed away about 6 weeks ago, I guess, something like that. But this is carrying it on. So, I mean, this is kind of like, hey, Mike, this is for the veterans, and this is what he was about.
Mike started this with Dave Nervo and the veterans from Shasta College. And it's been going strong for about 3 years.
Christine Mitchell was involved in this thing, too. She's still involved in this. She was.
Christine
she started afterwards,
moved out to the Eureka area just a few months ago.
Mm. Mm-hmm. That's why I haven't seen Christine lately. Okay. And when is this going to be?
This is June 24th, and it's at the Reading Public Library Community Room at 11:30.
Okay. You have speakers, all types of speakers. And what you're trying to do is, we talk about all these organizations out here. Mm-hmm. How do we get all these organizations under one umbrella? The veterans organizations got under this one umbrella, I want to say is, what, Shasta County, is that, what is it?
There's a Veterans Affiliated Council.
CVAC.
Yeah.
Shasta Veterans Affiliated Council. Mm-hmm. Anything about veterans organizations, they're all trying to help. I mean, you know what? You could, if I said, okay, look, we're going to have a meeting here from all the veterans, from all the organizations mm-hmm. here to help mm-hmm. veterans, and I tripped, I could be trampled.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how many there are.
And it gets a little thick out there trying to work with all the different organizations, everything from what we call the HATS, which is like the VFW, the American Legion, mm-hmm. Order of Purple Heart, and stuff like that.
Of course, they're fantastic. You say that in a
loving way.
In a loving way.
Yeah.
I'm a VFW guy.
And then we've got all the different ones. The Military Officers Association.
Oh, another group.
Then we have the I Go Cemetery people, and it goes on and on and on and on.
You have the Welcome Home people. You have Veterans Welcome Home people. Yep. You have Welcome Home Veterans people.
Yep.
I mean, everybody's heart's in the right spot, mm-hmm. but I'm looking at this as if I was a young veteran coming back, it's kind of like those things that if you go down Broadway, first time in Broadway in New York, if you've done that, and you look around and you go, I just don't know which one to pick.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know?
And you know when you're coming back from serving your country, you're a little bit lost, and you're looking for some structure. And it would be nice if we could gather all these organizations together under one umbrella, some sort of a steering committee that we could really bring force, because there's a huge amount of assets out there amongst all these organizations,
and we are dissipating it. We are peeing it away.
Yeah.
Like One Safe Place. Look what One Safe Place
exactly.
did. One Safe Place is the epitome of what you can do. It started with mm-hmm. the Family Justice Center and then mm-hmm. Women's Refuge, and they put it together, one-stop shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing that with criminals out here. They spend the money for criminals to do it. And how's that working for you? Why can't we do that with something like put ourselves into a bigger building and just put everything under that one roof and have representatives there? And so a veteran can come in who may not have a car or maybe having problems, just walks into this place and it's on a bus route.
Yeah. And
can we use – there must be places out there that have money for that.
When I saw One Safe Places model, that really planted a seed with me. And we've been in some conversations, and we'd really like to expand to the point where we have that kind of a true resource center where at One Safe Place, all these agencies have offices at One Safe Place.
Yes, they do.
Health and Human Services, probation, child
everything.
Support.
Everything is there.
Yeah, we'd like to do that with all the veterans organizations.
Why not?
And it would be a fantastic thing. And,
can't
the
wait till the government does it.
Mm-hmm.
Look at why One Safe Place is a success. Yep. Let me think about it. Oh, yep. Private. Right.
Yep.
So the only way this is going to work is for somebody like you mm-hmm. and a couple others to get together, get the grant money, mm-hmm. get somebody to write you a grant, mm-hmm. get the building, and put it together like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're looking – our office right next
door to
us.
And we'll do fundraisers and everything. But I think there's enough money out there for veterans because everybody's guilt right now. You could probably – hey, I'd like to have a hair transplant because I think that thinking about war made me bald. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
but I don't mean to be facetious about this. This is a serious matter.
No.
But that kind of thing that you're talking about, a consolidation of assets in one spot,
mm-hmm.
why not?
Yeah, it'd be perfect. We have an office right next door to ours that's going to be vacant, and we're kind of looking at putting in a coffee shop for veterans and just having a community office there where any agency can come down and give service. So it's
a start. But still, it is a start. Yeah. But I think that if you I like this idea that you get a bigger building and you get some place you can put like eight offices in it.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a huge building. They don't have to be huge offices.
No.
With a waiting room, a TV room, a place for coffee, these kind of things. And
mm-hmm.
and do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's needed.
Yep.
All right, Brad, get out there and you got all this money.
all that Prop 41.
Hey, where's your – you know what? Some of the things that you do, though, for Resource Center is you help families.
Yeah.
A lot of times the VA, by their charter, cannot help wives and children. You can help the veterans, and they do a mm-hmm. good job of it here.
Mm-hmm.
But you can help wives, children of people that are suffering from PTSD and the whole thing, right?
Yeah, we can hook them up with a whole bunch of resources for them, and specifically with their housing stability. So, you know, the family of the vet is affected by the stability of the house.
Right.
And if they're having a difficult time, we can step in and help them with their utilities, help them with their back rent. Get that pressure off them. Get the veteran in for their treatment that's needed, and so they're not they don't have to concentrate so much on making the weekly rent or the monthly rent. They can then concentrate on actually healing and getting better.
No. No, I'm not talking no to you.
Okay.
And tell them it's because I never heard back. So.
Okay.
Where was I at?
Talking about how we help families.
That's right. I'm sorry. There was a question was asked about somebody else coming through here. I'm sorry. It is. You can help the families. Okay. How do they get a hold of you, Brad?
They can get a hold of me at the office, my office, Veterans Resource Center. It's 153 Hartnell, Suite 100, or call us at 223-3211.
Great. Thank you very
much, Carl.
We'll be right back after these messages. Carl and the Bot, KCNR 1460.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Heavy fighting between Iraqi government forces and Sunni insurgents is taking place in many parts of western Anbar province, where the rebels have seized a number of key areas.
It's clear from what a lot of people are saying, including the Kurdistan Prime Minister here, Nachavan Barzani, who I interviewed. His view, and that of many people, is that this is not just a few hundred or a few thousand extremists. It's a question of many strands of Sunni society who've been alienated by the policies of Mr. Maliki, the Shiite Prime Minister in Baghdad, and are making common cause without necessarily sharing the goals of ISIS other than getting rid of Mr. Maliki.
That's the BBC's Jim Muir reporting. President Obama, meanwhile, has notified Congress that nearly 300 U.S. troops could be sent to Iraq.
Some 275 armed American forces are being positioned in and around Iraq to provide support and security for U.S. personnel and the American embassy in Baghdad. The move comes as the president nears a decision on options for combating Islamic insurgents, including airstrikes or a contingent of special forces. Administration officials emphasize that any military engagement remained contingent on the Iraqi government making political reforms. Greg Clugston, SRN News, The White House.
Also at SRNnews.com, Americans have been paying more for food and gasoline and for airfares, which jumped last month by the largest amount in 15 years. Market analyst Deborah Borchardt at The Street says food and gas are the main reasons why consumer prices were high.
Energy is certainly part of it, but I really feel that the food area is really the area that is getting hit the hardest.
Home construction slipped in May, but there is a brighter future.
The good news we take out of this is that the permits for single family were up.
That's David Crow, chief economist for the National Association of Home Builders, and this is SRN News.
A breaking news report says that 30,000 Christians are being tortured, beaten, and starved in four North Korean concentration camps right now. This is according to the Voice of the Martyrs, the leading organization that has reported Christian persecution globally since 1967. Conditions are so bad in these North Korea concentration camps that virtually all of these brothers and sisters will die in these camps. It's truly a modern-day Holocaust. Obtain your copy of this free special report and learn how you can immediately help North Korea's Christians. Visit NorthKoreaHolocaust.com. That's NorthKoreaHolocaust.com. In addition, the Voice of the Martyrs will begin sending you their free monthly newsletter so that you can stay informed about the persecution going on in North Korea and elsewhere in the world. Learn about these atrocities that North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un doesn't want the world to know. Please, go to NorthKoreaHolocaust.com to receive this free report and discover how you can stand with our suffering brethren in North Korea. Go to NorthKoreaHolocaust.com now.
Just days after GM recalled another 3.1 million cars for ignition problems, CEO Mary Barra is headed back to Capitol Hill.
Barra's been summoned back before the House Energy and Commerce Committee for a progress report. The appearance comes just 2 days after the company announced another huge recall to fix faulty ignition switches, more than 5.5 million cars in all. It also follows the release of an internal report that found a pattern of incompetence and neglect at General Motors. Barra will make a joint appearance with Anton Valukas, the former federal prosecutor who authored that scathing report.
That's SRN's Wally Hines reporting. Stocks have been mostly lower so far as the Federal Reserve begins a two-day policy-setting session. Fed officials are widely expected to keep a key short-term interest rate near to zero. The government reporting today that the pace of new home construction eased slightly last month. This is SRN News. The U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to hear a case involving the free speech rights of people who use violent or threatening language on the Internet.
The case involves a man from eastern Pennsylvania who was sentenced to nearly 4 years in federal prison for posting violent online rants against his estranged wife, law enforcement, and former co-workers. A federal appeals court rejected the man's claims that his comments were protected by the First Amendment. In agreeing to take up the case, the Supreme Court said it will consider whether the conviction of threatening another person under federal law requires proof of the defendant's subjective intent to threaten.
That's SRN's Linda Kenyon. Medical examiners in Connecticut say an apparent hoarder died of accidental and traumatic asphyxia after a floor piled high with debris collapsed into her basement. The chief medical examiner's office released the cause of death of 66-year-old Beverly Mitchell. This morning, her body was found on Saturday. More details at SRNnews.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, my friends. Yes, I've been a little bit peckish this morning. I can't help it. There's just so many things going on, so many targets of opportunity, so little time to shoot at them. 8:05 in the morning, 605-4567 is our phone number. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Hello, Sun Golden Angel and Onion Grower and those. I'm here with Bad Bob. Good morning, Bad Bob.
And hello.
Hello with your Shrek earphones on. Hey, that's, you know what? I want to talk to Susan Eastman, our Wells Fargo advisor, about what's happening on Wall Street. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, everyone. Well, major averages remain mixed. All eyes are on the Fed as they enter a two-day policy meeting. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is off 9 points at 16,722. The S&P 500 is off 2 points at 1935. NASDAQ Composite is up 8 points at 4,329. The three most actively traded stocks on the NASDAQ, Intel positive 3 cents at $30.04, Sirius XM Holdings up 2 cents at $3.35, and Apple positive a penny at $92.21. For local bank stocks of interest, Trico Bank shares up 15 cents, trading at $22.59, North Valley Bank positive 9 cents at $21.08, Bank of Commerce off 8 cents at 6.5. For commodities, gold is down $5 an ounce at $12.70, silver down 3 cents at $19, and crude oil up a penny, trading at $106 a barrel. That's the market for now. This is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors for KCNR.
Susan, thanks a lot. We have our Wells Fargo Advisors on Monday through Friday at 708-808-908 in the morning. You know, the things that Susan does, and Chris and Kathy and Josh and Steve, all of them have one thing in common. They've got your well-being in their hearts, and they are trained to help you find that nirvana of financial freedom. You got to give them a call, though, 243-7561, and then stop by their offices on Park Marina Drive. These are local people. Look across the look across that desk with them, and they have great ideas. But they've been on the show before. You listen to things they talk about. They know what they're talking about. Wells Fargo Advisors. Hey, this portion of the show, you know, what's the weather today, Bob?
A gorgeous day on tap. High will be around 85, 86 degrees. Tomorrow going to start warming up, going to jump by another 10 degrees. Well, you should see a high of around 95. It's going to continue to push towards the century mark towards the end of the weekend, then drop off a little bit. Right now in Reading, it is 60 degrees. And this report is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. 365-3793 Senior and Veterans Discounts.
Well, you know, it's hard to, you know, when this beautiful weather like this, but you know next week it's going to be in the high 90s, and a week after that it's going to be in the hundreds. So who do you call when your air conditioning system doesn't work? That's right, Alliance Heating and Air. Serving the North State for over 20 years, and Martin just does great work, as do all of his people. They treat you like family. They can fix any make or model. They can give guarantees, warranties, you name it. They've got it. They can fix it, and they can come out and make sure that your machine is working to its fullest extent. Of course, we have this Saturday, we have the energy fair that you can come down down here in the promenade right down from the station and find out secrets of saving money on heating and cooling bills, especially cooling bills. But you need somebody there to make sure your machine is working right. And that's Martin from Alliance Heating and Air. Give them a call, 221-2642, or check out their website at homecomfort.org. I'm here with one of my favorite occupations today. the nursing profession. But Lorraine Sullivan, who is our guest from Shasta Regional, is more than that. Lorraine is also the liaison. You are the pre-hospital liaison, and I'm going to ask you about that, and also the trauma coordinator.
Correct.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So how'd you get into this? How'd you get into being a nurse?
Well, about 25 years ago, I was getting divorced from my first husband, and I had two small children I needed to support. And I'd always kind of been interested in the nursing field anyway, and at that time there was some great programs to help non-traditional students like myself get through school. And so that's what I did, and boy, I love it.
Never looked back, did you?
Never looked back.
And, of course, everybody knows how proud of my daughter I am, and she's a nurse. And part of the reason was my son-in-law is in a hazardous profession. He's a U.S. Marshal, and you never can tell what happens. And one of the things after her being a stay-at-home mom was that he wanted her to be able to take care of herself and the kids if anything happened to him. And she has loved what she did in helping, and so became a nurse. So it is. It's an honorable profession that helps people. But do you have to like people to do this?
Well, yeah, probably helps since you're dealing with people all day, every day.
Doesn't it get be? Sometimes it must be kind of like you're looking at them and thinking, don't you realize I'm trying to help you?
No, not really. You know, we realize that sometimes when people are being cross, that it's not us. They're having a hard time dealing with the situation that they're in.
Pain and all these things, yeah.
You know, they're in pain or they're sick or they're losing their independence. There's a lot of things going on that can affect that. It's not directed at us personally.
Okay, yeah, well, that's good to know. And I guess you're right. You know, sometimes you have to look past, it's not about me type thing.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, now, a pre-hospital coordinator, what exactly is that?
So,
pre-hospital liaison.
Hospitals and hospital emergency rooms work very closely with our emergency medical system, you know, the paramedics and the EMTs that come to your house. You know, hospital isn't a standalone institution. We work as a system to provide emergency care to our community. That starts with when you call 911 and you reach our dispatch center to when the medics arrive at your house and when you cross our door into our ER. So a lot of my job is to work with our EMS agency, help them develop the protocols that they follow when they come to your house. Our hospital provides education to the EMTs and the paramedics. We are a clinical site for the pre-hospital schools so they can come and practice and learn so that when they come to your house, they know what they're doing. And we provide ongoing education for them.
Okay, so you've got a lot of things then that fall into your purview there.
Yes.
Okay. But you also do something else. You're the trauma coordinator?
Yes, I'm also the trauma coordinator at Shasta Regional. And
what exactly is that?
I oversee the trauma program. I write and review policy and procedure. I make sure that the nurses get educated when they come into the ER how to take care of the trauma patient. I work with the education department to provide ongoing education to the staff. One of the things that I do as this job is I participate with the EMS agencies region-wide, which is all of Northern California. We meet 3 times a year and look at all the trauma patients in the area, everybody, all the hospital statistics, you know, what is our major goals as far as improving trauma care mm-hmm. in our region.
Okay, now the reason I'm getting this background is that I really like the idea that you all talk to each other. How many people can you handle at Shasta? I mean, if it was a major emergency, like what? School bus. I hate to say this. Okay, but you say a bus full of people, 80 people in it, crashes, goes off the freeway and lands on a cypress. How many people can y'all handle at one time?
Well, as you probably know, most emergency rooms in America are running at or over capacity nowadays. And so a sudden surge of patients into the hospital anywhere is a big concern. We put a lot of thought and we have a process to handle that. And we practice it. In fact, we've practiced it a couple times this last year.
Okay. Now, I want to talk about that when we come back. So we're going to talk about what happens for a mass casualty a mass casualty scenario when that comes in, okay? My guest is Lorraine Sullivan, who is the trauma coordinator at Shasta Regional. And we're going to talk about, if you know, that there's these, there's always a possibility of mass casualties. And what is Shasta Regional doing? How are they training to do this? And I realize it's not just a one hospital type thing. So I'm looking forward to hearing this. We'll be right back. Carl Lindebach, KCNR, 1460. It's 8:15 in the morning. It's June the 17th. It's 63 degrees out there. It's going to be a beautiful day. We'll be right back.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, we have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night in the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation with clean, comfortable cabs. Give us a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
The Patriot Gold and Silver Exchange has always believed that peace of mind is selling your gold and silver coins and bullion for a fair price. It's protecting your wealth with gold and silver. It's knowing your family has access to nourishing quality food and emergency supplies in times of distress. The Patriot is your peace of mind store with locations in Reading, Chico, Corning, and we're happy to announce the reopening of our store in the Holiday Shopping Center in Palo Cedro. To celebrate this, we're giving away a free personal stainless steel water filter bottle, a $32 value, with the purchase of a 200-serving emergency food bucket while supplies last. These are a convenient and versatile food storage product. Just add hot water for quick meals at home or grab and go if you have to evacuate. And don't pay more and wait weeks for delivery. In Reading, we're located in the Sunset Plaza at 3637 Eureka Way next to the Round Table. In Chico, we're located on East Avenue in the Safeway Marketplace. In Corning, we're in the Olive Tree Plaza. And once again, in Palo Cedro at the Holiday Market Center. Come to the Patriot and get peace of mind today for less.
Hi, this is Reading Mayor Rick Bassetti. Please join me and the rest of our community for the 13th annual REU Energy Fair Saturday, June 21st, from 8:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Market Street Promenade. This year, the Energy Fair will highlight summer cooling and how to conserve energy during the hot summer months ahead. Over 40 local vendors demonstrating REU's home performance program, Energy Star appliances, water conservation products, the latest energy-saving technologies, and a fleet of plug-in electric and fuel-efficient vehicles. Activities for kids include free REU bucket truck rides, bounce houses, recreation programs, and snow cones. Mom and Dad will enjoy bonus rebates, local food vendors, drawing for Energy Star appliances, home energy makeover, and more. See you June 21st, beginning at 8:30 a.m. at the Market Street Promenade. For more information, call 339-7300. Sponsored by Reading Electric Utility. REU. Learn. Conserve. Save.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Well, you know you make me wanna shout, kick my heels up, and shout, throw my hands up, and shout.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. We just had a phone call, they were shouting. Carl in the Bot, KCNR 1460, 817. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Today, this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Veterans always get discounts at Tobacco and Brew, Espresso Joe's, where you can get lattes and cappuccinos and espressos and and cold coffees, cold drinks. All of them at great prices. You're not making a car payment once a month by going there and getting something every day. Also, walk next door to the finest walk-in humidor in the state. Plus, they have any type of e-cig that you can imagine, all flavors, and which, of course, is sweeping the country. All of this at Tobacco and Brew. Like I said, veterans always get discounts at Tobacco and Brew. I'm going to go see Joe today. 2143 Hilltop Drive. My guest is Larae Sullivan, who is the pre-hospital liaison at Shasta Regional and also the trauma coordinator. Now, I asked her before we left, I asked Larae that about a mass casualty drills that you all may do. And you kind of, you know, you started to talk about it, but I wanted to talk about it when we got back, had more time. Mass casualty drills, how do you all handle that?
Well, now you're getting off on a subject that is really near and dear to my heart.
Oh, well, good. But that's, you know, I'm glad you said that because, you know, well, here's the thing is we always in the military, we do a lot of mass casualty drills. We have to because we expect mass casualties. And and once you're in combat, it's too late to train for it. So I'm really glad to hear is that you all are doing this.
Yes. I'm also the disaster coordinator, so you're talking right up my alley.
This is kind of scary that I've got the trauma and disaster coordinator in my office. I hope there's no disaster and trauma is going to follow this, of course. You know. Anyway.
So as you know from in the military, disaster planning is not just it's not a hospital standalone thing. We work with our county, our EMS agencies, our law enforcement, the local hospitals, the local clinics, and a lot of other agencies. We meet monthly. We look at what our hazards are in our area, and then we plan together to meet them because the key to responding to a disaster is for everybody to be on the same page. And so as a hospital, we are required to drill a couple of times a year if we don't have a real event. But I like to do it more than that because I feel that if you drill a lot and you're prepared when a real event happens, you'll respond seamlessly, or at least as seamlessly as possible.
You work like you train.
Exactly. So actually, we recently had probably one of the largest scale drills in our region that we've ever had since I've been here in 2002. The county was Tehama County, Shasta County, a lot of our surrounding counties, and agencies from all of the counties. We simulated a chemical accident down at the Bowman Road area, which it was pretty interesting because that area down there on I-5, if it closes, EMS and law enforcement have to respond from two different directions. So that gave a lot of agencies a lot of a really.
Was it a specific type of chemical? Just a chemical?
It was a specific chemical. Chief Gray of our local SHMRT team, which is the hazmat team, could tell you the name of it.
But it means it's something you have to do. You have to handle specifically in a different way. You can't just say, "Oh, this is just chemical."
It was a
good.
Yes, it was a pesticide, and the reason why we simulated a pesticide is because pesticides act on humans the same way that nerve agents do, and that required a large. We simulated a large volume of patients coming to the local emergency rooms that needed to have decontamination done on them. So at our hospital, we simulated a large-scale decontamination operation.
It's just spraying people down with decontaminants and all this, putting them, isolating them, bringing them through and all this?
Yep.
Just like we would an NBC drill in the military? Okay.
Yeah, basically they get sprayed off with a big fire hose at the scene, stripped off of their clothes and then sent to us, and we'd give them a good soap and water washing. And then after that was over, we would, you know, take care of any medical issues.
Bob and I can only afford $25 for that. I mean, can we volunteer? do people pay to get into this?
No.
Have you thought about going through the homeless areas down there and just pull them in? And no. Okay. I'm just a little. Okay. This is serious stuff here, Bob. Stop it. I think this is great because, you know, because what was the headlines just like 2 days ago? Oil tankers are coming through town, you know, and which is, you know, you got to move oil somehow, but a major disaster in the middle of town. So you did for the chemicals like this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What happens then after, you know, okay, say you've got like 40 or 50 people that this is, you know, they've sucked it in. And then, so was the next step where you brought them into the emergency rooms or?
If they need it, they get a brief mass casualty type triage at the scene. We kind of re-triage them before we decontaminate them. And then after we decontaminate them, ideally a ER doctor or a PA or nurse practitioner would be able to give them a brief exam. And if they need more extensive treatment, then they'd be taken into the emergency room. Some people after decontamination wouldn't need to be having any medical treatment.
Okay, the coming in into the emergency room here. Are we still seeing a lot of people coming in still for This is their way they're treated for everything in the emergency room.
You know,
is that lessened at all?
ERs are busier and busier and busier all the time, and I think there's a lot of reasons for that. There are a lot of people that don't have access to primary care for a lot of reasons, and the ER is always there, it's always open, and we take all comers. And that's our mission, and that's what
we
do.
I'm not going to get into a political, talk about this. The fact is that one of the reasons that Obamacare is here is to stop this overrunning of the emergency rooms, which we all pay for out of our own pockets. I would like to – my thought on this is that I don't think it's going to make any difference. I think you're still going to get overrun in the emergency rooms. That's just the way it is. I mean, we've got – not in your place. We've had instances of numerous people that have waited 5, 6, 12 hours, not at Shasta, but in other places, other hospitals, in the emergency room for things. And I find that amazing. Okay, when you talk emergency preparedness, I actually went to a meeting down in Sacramento. We were invited down there for a regional or statewide, people coming in from all over the state talking about a huge, like if it was these tornadoes that came through and just wiped out parts of Oklahoma, and how do you handle that when the hospital's gone? If the hospital's hit, do y'all ever plan for that?
We do. We have a plan. I mean, we look at our hazards in our area. So obviously, tornadoes not a real big risk, but we could have an earthquake.
We could.
So the method of last resort is to have to evacuate the hospital. But obviously, if it takes a direct hit from a natural disaster and it's structurally unsound, we'll have to take that route.
Do you have a plan? And I'm not trying to put you on the spot at anything, but if something like that happened, if all electricity was cut out to the hospital, and all this, is there plans like to move to a big field or someplace and work from there?
Well, we wouldn't have to do it for a power outage.
We do
have a plan. We don't have a pre-designated place because it would depend upon the situation.
Uh-huh.
You don't want to evacuate at all because it's hard on the patients. If you do have to evacuate, as they found out in Oroville, they had to evacuate a hospital up there several years because of an approaching wildfire. The first thing you do is you try to send your patients to other area hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually all participate in an online system called EM System, where mm-hmm. we can send out a poll over the internet to all the hospitals where we can get bed availability so we can rapidly line up beds for our patients.
Okay.
So that's the first preference when you're evacuating, is you just want to go to another healthcare facility. We also, in our plan, would look at anybody who could possibly be discharged home safely or possibly to a skilled nursing facility. And then the last resort would be to what we call an alternative care site outside of the facility, which would be used as sort of a staging area while we tried to get people to actual healthcare facilities.
Okay. So all these, I'm glad, and the reason I keep asking all this is, I like to know that our medical facilities here are working on all types, all levels of being prepared. So natural disasters, mass casualty drills. What do you think right now? I'm going to ask this question. I'm going to take an early break because I'll let you answer it on the way back. What do you think the biggest concern we should be facing right now, to be planning on right now for the future? All right. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. My guest is Larae Sullivan, who is the trauma and disaster coordinator over at Shasta Regional. I've never even heard your name until just when Karen Hoyt gave it to me. And I'm really glad that you wanted to come on the show and talk about this, because this is something that people talk about emergency preparedness and the preppers and all this. And you have to be prepared. You have to be able to take care of yourself, but you also like to have the ideas that the hospital, if something happens, that they're prepared and they're not just going to go, oh my God. We want them to go, let's go this direction. So, all right, we'll be right back. Carl Linderbach, KCNR 1460, 8:28 in the morning, 63 degrees, June the 17th. We'll be right back.
As you know, I love sharing the great letters we get, like this one. Lori and Bruce Burton came up from Chico and purchased a 2014 Honda Accord. And Lori writes,
"From the moment we got to Crown, we knew we were in good hands. All our questions were answered, even some we hadn't thought of. Crown made car buying enjoyable."
I love hearing from happy customers. We have a great team here at Crown, so come in today or visit us online at crownmotorsreading.com.
At Pulse Urgent Care, their goal is to get you in and out quickly. Pulse Urgent Care is open 7 days a week in their newly expanded facility from 10 a.m. till 8 p.m., providing care for the entire family, from infants to great-grandparents. If you suffer from allergies, visit newly expanded Pulse Urgent Care today for short-term allergy relief. For more information, call 722-1111 or walk in to Pulse Urgent Care on Hilltop Drive across from Kmart in Reading. Pulse Urgent Care says if it's urgent to you, it's important to us.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
The City of Reading Water Utility wants to help you save money and be water smart. Reevaluate your current outdoor watering schedule. Make sure to water later in the evening or early in the morning, because when it's hot or windy, more than a third of the water can be lost to evaporation. Watering your landscape during the coolest part of the day allows water to soak into the soil and minimizes runoff. Be water smart. Visit ReadingUtilities.com for more information. This message brought to you by the City of Reading Water Utility.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460. 8:32 in the morning. That's a good song there, Bob.
To my wall.
Thompson Twins, which was actually a trio, and they were related. Go figure.
Story of my life. Carl Linda Bob, KCNR 1460. More talk radio shows than any other place, local talk radio shows than any other place in California, right here in Reading, California. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue, the Cheers of barbershops. Great haircuts, great prices, discounts for seniors and veterans. Man's last stronghold. A great place to get a haircut. I go there all the time. Bob goes there all the time. Everybody I know goes there all the time. Right off Athens Avenue. My guest is Lorraine Sullivan. And I met Lorraine this morning when she walked through the door, and she said, "I've never done this on the radio before," and talked on the radio. You're doing a great job.
Thanks.
Shasta Regional Medical Center, you're the pre-hospital coordinator, or liaison. But the big thing we're talking about is trauma and disaster coordinator, and that's what you do. I asked you before we left, what is the biggest threat facing us here in the future?
The biggest threat facing us every single year is flu. And people really take flu for granted. They think it's a, nothing to worry about. You're going to have a fever and feel crappy for a few days. But what they don't realize is that flu kills hundreds and thousands of Americans every year. And
more than guns?
Probably.
A lot more than guns.
Yep. And the scary thing is that every so often there's a new form of flu, which we call a novel form, like back in 2008 when the H1N1 came out for the first time.
How many people did that kill?
You know, in 2008, not that many. But the scary thing about novel flu, remember the Spanish flu back in World War One?
Yeah.
That was a novel form of influenza that killed millions of people. And the scary thing is it usually severely affects the people that of the age group that flu isn't normally real dangerous for, like the 20, 30, and 40.
The young, healthy ones.
The young, healthy ones.
Wow. So this is a fear. Or this is not a fear. I hate to use the word fear. Concerns, though, that flu. And every year there's something new that comes. I mean, it's a new type. We've got bird flu. And there's something going on over in Africa. Isn't there some kind of virus that's killing people over there?
In the Saudi Arabia Peninsula, there's a new coronavirus out. It's called MERS,
M-E-R-S. Yeah, that's the one.
And it's concerning because so far the people that have been affected have had a pretty high fatality rate, like over 40%.
Wow, that is high. But is that because they're out in the desert or in the jungle someplace and they can't get treatment? Or is it just because it's this virulent?
It might be a little less dangerous here where we have a little more critical care type health care available. But, no, I don't think we can entirely attribute it to that.
Okay. Now, the flu. Now, because this flu it's a new version every year. People can get flu shots.
It's actually not a new version every year.
Oh, okay.
There are two primary flu viruses, and they pretty much can predict which one is going to be out. There's influenza A and influenza B.
Really? So you can predict these things?
They can kind of predict it. It doesn't work every year. I remember a few years ago the flu shot didn't have the right strain in it, and the ERs were very busy that winter.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Everybody talks about getting your flu shots. Children, elderly people, adults, you know, strong, healthy adults. In the military, you don't get a choice. I mean, you just get a flu shot. And too bad. You get sick afterwards. That's okay. You're still being paid. We'll take care of you. Everybody got flu shots. And you can get flu shots anywhere. I mean, still at the VA, I can go down and get my flu shot every year. Linda can go down to, a pharmacy and get hers. Since it's the same strain, it's either A or B, it says, do these inoculations work? I mean, since...
They do.
But you
have to have them every year. It's not like your... some of the other vaccinations where you get them once. You have to have them every year because the viruses do mutate a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Flu shot is a topic that is near and dear to my heart because I think everybody should get a flu shot. And a lot of people are like, well, I never get sick. Well, that is true. You may never get sick, but you can carry it and you can pass it to people who can get sick and die, like infants. Or your grandmother or your grandfather that have a lot of chronic illnesses.
So there's a lot of people that are not getting inoculations, Lorraine, because for a variety of reasons, a lot of people believe that a 3-year-old should not have 40 inoculations before they're three. I'm saying 40, but that's one of the numbers I've heard. I may be wrong about that, but they are really against giving their children that many inoculations. They think they could lead to something.
You know, and that's been very disproven by very well-designed scientific studies that there's very minimal risk from vaccinations, but there are very real risks from not being vaccinated. You know, we have pretty much reduced our childhood mortality from things like whooping cough, measles. You know, these illnesses are a big deal. A baby gets whooping cough and they... You know, basically what happens is they cough and cough and cough and cough and they can't feed. So they can't suck a bottle or breastfeed, so they get dehydrated or they get pneumonia. And those are things that can kill a baby. Measles can cause swelling in the brain and cause permanent brain injury in a child. It can cause deafness. You know, these are not no-risk illnesses.
And I think, you know, maybe people from my generation, you know, we all had measles. Nobody heard any. I mean, of course, we weren't really looking at it, and you didn't have the news that you have today. But we all had measles when we were growing up, and chicken pox, and sometimes the mumps and those things. I don't know about whooping cough. But everybody like, oh, okay, that's just part of being childhood was getting the measles. But now measles are almost wiped out, aren't they?
Well, they were, but they are on the rise because of people not wanting to vaccinate.
Okay, so people not wanting to vaccinate, and so they send their kids to school, and the kids get measles. And then when they go to school, they pass it on to other people, other kids that haven't been vaccinated, because the kids that are vaccinated, they won't get it. Is that right? That's not always right, though, is it?
There is a chance that you can get an illness after being vaccinated, but it's usually a very mild form.
Okay. So the secret, then, is vaccinations.
Yes.
Are more people opting out of vaccinations?
It seems like that. I know they're very worried in California because we're basically having an epidemic of whooping cough in this state.
Okay, let's talk about that, the whooping cough. We already talked about how a young child can die of this because they can't feed and all this. And they can't feed and dehydrate and cause pneumonia, and this is terrible. Whooping cough is on the rise because, and I have a couple of theories about it. One of them we talked about a little bit is that we have a lot of people coming across the border illegally who have never been inoculated, and they're bringing their diseases with them. That's one thing. And the other one is that there's more and more people not inoculating or vaccinating because there's a fear that these vaccinations can cause harm in their children, and they're drawing parallels between vaccinations and children having mental problems later on. I mean, this is things I've heard. But the bottom line is that for you is vaccinate. The one thing. So you're saying the biggest problem, though, is non-vaccinations, not necessarily people coming across the border.
Well, I haven't really seen any scientific literature that has attributed to the rise of illness from illegal aliens. But if they do have, say, whooping cough or measles, and they come into our state, if we're vaccinated, we're not going to contract it. Same with going overseas. You know, Americans like to travel, but a lot of us travel to areas where there's a higher incidence of these illnesses. If we're not vaccinated, we can get sick while we're over there, and then we can bring it back and on the airplane, and anybody on the airplane that hasn't been vaccinated is going to go around and pass it to their people. I can tell you that when there is a confirmed measles case, that is a huge deal to public health. They spend a lot of time and effort to track every single person that possibly could have been exposed to that person who is ill to make sure that they prevent an epidemic from happening and give people treatment to keep them from getting the measles.
Mm-hmm. Are we seeing polio on the rise again or not?
We are.
There's still not – I mean, you get shots for that or things that you give little children.
I'm not sure – polio is a little outside of my expertise. I have been doing some reading. It's on the rise. I'm not sure how much it's on the rise in America.
I've read that polio is kind of like making a comeback in some of these countries.
In some of these countries where it was previously eradicated.
And that's kind of a scary thing. The flu coming, whooping cough, measles, all of these that could be a potential disaster. Can all be prevented, or at least the impact lessened by
mitigated
by vaccinations.
Definitely.
What would you tell a parent that says, you know what, I don't agree with this, and I don't think my child should be vaccinated? Should they be ostracized, or should they be not allowed to go to school? And you know what? I'm not trying to pin you down. That was almost like a pin you down question. That's not what I was trying to do. Okay. I'm going to take that question back, and I'll tell you why. Is that's not up to you. What you're saying, though, you would tell a parent what? If they said, I'm not sure if I should vaccinate my child. You know, I'm concerned about things I've read. I'm concerned about the impact it could have on them down the road. What would you tell a parent?
I would tell a parent that the flu shot is very safe. It's a dead virus. You know, it can't make you sick. It does stimulate your immune system, so sometimes you can feel a little yuck for a couple of days, but it doesn't make you sick. It doesn't give you the flu. it has been proven to have very little side effects other than maybe a little local swelling and redness at the injection site. And so as a parent myself, why would I want to not do something that's very safe and proven to have big preventative effect and choose to do something that might end up in my child dying?
Okay. My guest is Lorraine Sullivan, and we're talking about emergency preparedness and or emergency planning. She's the disaster and trauma coordinator at Shasta Regional, and we're talking. The biggest concern, and what brought this up, was one of the biggest concerns is in the future is flu epidemics or disease epidemics. Maybe not a mass casualty where the train jumps the track, or God forbid, another bus wreck like we had, but a 1,000 people getting the flu in Redding could shut it down, couldn't it? I mean, if it was severe.
It could.
I mean, even with the hospitals, because you have two hospitals and the clinics, because 1,000 people is a lot of people.
It's a lot of people.
And so if we had that many people sick all at one time, that would be a disaster here.
Mm. We got a little taste of that this last winter.
Okay, let's talk about that as soon as we get back. Lorraine Sullivan is our guest. This portion of the show is brought to you by, what we want to talk about is a Redding Electric Utility Energy Fair that's going to be this Saturday, June 21st, from 8:30 to 12:30. You can get a breakfast sandwich there, by the way. They're going to tell you all these different things about how to save energy, to save money on your energy bills. They've been on the show. They were on the show yesterday and last week, and already they came up with ideas. Plus, you get rebates from the city if you go out and get things like these solar screens that helps prevent all this heat from coming into your house, plus all these other great deals they've got for you down there. And that's going to be this Saturday in the Promenade right down the street here on Market. And it's the 13th annual City of Redding Energy Fair from 8:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. So you get out of there before it's too hot. Let's get back inside the house. We'll be right back. Carl and DeBott right after these messages.
At Cypress or Eyes on Cypress Avenue, we support our veterans and provide competitive prices and the personal service you can only get from a locally owned eye care professional. If you bring in your recent eye exam receipt, we'll subtract the cost of your eye exam up to $55 from your purchase of a complete pair of eyeglasses. Plus, we'll give you a second pair of glasses absolutely free. This is a standalone offer and not valid with any other offers, discounts, coupons, or insurance programs. Some restrictions apply. Please see the store for details. Cypress or Eyes has same-day service, precision crafted lenses, and a large selection of stylish designer frames. Or if your budget is tight, we also have a large selection of budget-friendly frames. Fast service and reasonably priced eyewear and veterans discounts are our specialty. At Cypress or Eyes on Cypress Avenue, next to Leslie's Pools, we accept all current doctor's prescriptions, all major credit cards, and we do your insurance paperwork. Cypress or Eyes. Call 722-9992 for an appointment today.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, local Redding chiropractor, and
Josie Salas-Tyne, and holistic health practitioner. Join us on the Positively Healthy Show, where twins talk health. Listen on the first, third, and fourth Saturdays of the month as we talk about health, lifestyle, fitness, and so much more. Streaming on KCNR1460.com from 10 to 11 a.m. We keep you up to date locally and globally. Find out how you can become positively healthy.
Ladies, if you have an event this summer and want something new and fresh to wear, go to the Frugal Dame, located at 3304A Bocelli Lane, or call Lori for an appointment at 999-3020. The Frugal Dame offers dress rentals for any shape, size, or event. Men can rent a unique Western tuxedo for those outside events. Call the Frugal Dame. That's 999-3020. The Frugal Dame, where you can look like $1 million for just a few bucks.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460. I'm not, what is that, Aerosmith?
Yes. Cool. Love that little guitar riff. Waiting for the drum beat to cut me off.
I'm waiting. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It is 8:50 in the morning. 605-4567 is our phone number. This portion of the show is brought to you by Redding Crackmaster Windshield Repair. You know what? If you got a little bitty chip in your windshield, you need to get it fixed. And Jeff Wurst guarantees his work. Not only that, but when that little chip goes to a crack over 2 feet in length, he can fix that one too, and he guarantees his work. Jeff Wurst is one of those people that when he takes a look at your windshield, he'll tell you if he can fix it or not, and then he'll send you on your way, or he will fix it. And he guarantees his work. That's right, guarantees his work. He's located at 3208 South Market Street. Crackmaster Windshield Repair does great work there. He fixed my windshield 6 years ago, and you can't even see the crack in it. It was like over 12 inches in length. So we're ready in Crackmaster Windshield Repair. My guest is Lori Sullivan, who is pre-hospital liaison over Shasta Region, but she's also the trauma and disaster coordinator, and that's what we've been talking about. And she has a meeting at 9 o'clock, but we're just going to make her late for her meeting here probably. Because we're talking vaccines, we're talking disasters, and these. We said, what is the biggest concern facing in the future and our immediate future, and it is vaccine. I mean, it's the flu. All the homeless we have out here and transients coming through here. Health problems, potential health problems, because they are kind of like under the radar in many times.
There are some public health concerns. Once again, this is not my area of expertise, but anytime that you put large groups of people together in places without adequate sanitation, there's always potential for diseases related to that, you know, to open sewage, and because some of the camps don't have bathrooms and hand washing facilities. And
what was it, that bad water causes? There was a disease back that cholera. Is that cholera?
Cholera.
That people died. Typhoid. Thousands died from typhoid and cholera because of unsafe, unsanitary living conditions.
Still does. Anytime there's a, you know, like when they had the big earthquake in Haiti. That is the primary event. But then what happens after something like that is when they lose their sanitation, then people start getting sick from unsanitary water. So that can happen anywhere, anytime. We think that we're immune to those sort of things in America, but we're not.
Do you? Are you a prepper?
Well, I'm not a prepper, but I talk to the new hires at the hospital every month as part of my disaster coordinator duties, and I like to tell them a story about in 1997. I lived in the very northern part of New York. You could see Canada across the river. I moved there from California, and I was surprised to find that people actually live voluntarily where it gets to be 40 below zero. And so, you know, being a California girl, that was quite outside my area of expertise. And one winter, we had a really bad ice storm. And when you have freezing rain, it freezes on the trees and the power lines. It ends up breaking trees and power lines, and we were without electricity for several days. Actually, 3 weeks, almost a month in some areas. And the storm started the Thursday before payday. And as most of us women that work, the night before payday is when your kitchen cupboards are absolutely at their lowest ebb. And so I was planning on going grocery shopping on payday, and the power went out, and you couldn't get out to the roads because there was so many trees down. And we had no idea when the power was going to go back on. And I had one flashlight and one candle and not a whole lot of food. So while I am not a prepper, I am prepared to sustain my family for 72 hours.
Then you're a prepper.
Well, I'm not planning on, you know, I don't have a compound where I'm planning on living after the apocalypse. But
neither do I. Yeah, but people aren't getting vaccinated. I mean, we've got to plan for these things. You've got to set up these compounds where you have medical care and security and guys that can fix electricity. So should I put your name down there or someplace in there for the, you know, to come in there later on? But this is an important thing, is for 72 hours to be able to take care of yourself and your needs, because if there is a disaster, 72 hours may take that long to get things back into shape. Unfortunately, though, after 3 days, if there's no trucks running, everything is off the shelves. But going back to our medical care, we talked about when there was a lot of people that were sick, and because the flu vaccine didn't exactly work the way it was supposed to because it was a different strain, and nationwide we were pushed, and this was even with all the vaccinations and all this. So having we talked about here, if we had a strain of a very strong strain of flu here, and we got hit with 500, 600, 700 cases. It would be very difficult to take care of.
It would be difficult to take care of. The reason why, and a lot of people have a misconception that when they have nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea, that they have the flu. Influenza is actually a respiratory illness. It attacks the respiratory tract, and that's how it kills you, is it causes you to develop probably severe pneumonia, and you die basically from pneumonia. In a severe flu outbreak, there would be a large number of patients that need ventilators and critical care ICU admission. And those are limited resources.
How many can y'all handle at Shasta?
Well, we have normally somewhere between 16 and 20 ventilators, and we have some less functional ventilators than the regular ones we use as a cache of disaster supplies. Mm-hmm. So altogether, we have about 40 ventilators. And then we have, nobody can keep all the equipment that they could ever possibly need. But you have vendors where you can get stuff in a hurry. We can rent more if we need to. Mm-hmm. Well, this last winter, there was so many people with flu being admitted to critical care that there was a nationwide shortage of ventilators. We didn't ever actually run out, and we never used our disaster ventilators, but our normal rental agencies didn't have any. Rental agencies out of the area didn't have any. Even out of the state didn't have any, because the whole nation was hit so hard with flu this year. So that's why flu is a scary thing to us, because if there is an epidemic where we have 600, 700, 1,000 flu victims here just in our area, there's not enough resources to go around. And then what do you do?
I don't know. You're the disaster preparedness lady.
Well, nationwide.
You can start calling people in, National Guard, things like that.
We can, but they can't get here overnight.
That's true.
And if the whole nation or if the state or...
If the state's getting it, if we're getting 1,000 here, that means there's probably thousands throughout the state.
And that's just it. If there is an epidemic, it's not just us, it's the whole nation. And so that's going to take the higher level state and federal response teams. They're going to be spread even more thin and take longer to respond.
Okay, we've got a couple minutes left. It's summertime. What would you say people need to really be aware of here to avoid being in the emergency room?
Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but it gets kind of hot here in Redding.
Some people tell me that.
So we need to pay a little more attention to keeping hydrated, stay out of the heat of day, know the signs of heat exhaustion and heat stroke. Heat stroke is a real emergency and it can kill. So if you're with somebody, you've been out in the heat and they've gone past the point where they're sweating, now they're not sweaty and they're confused, they have a limited amount of time where that's going to progress to their death. They need to get to the emergency room right away. And another thing that is in our area that I think they kind of get a bad rap is rattlesnakes.
A lot of snakes out here.
Yeah.
Some years worse than others.
Rattlesnakes are very shy, and they are not going to chase you down and bite you. They mostly bite if people pick them up, and people do that. That's a lot of what we see in the emergency room. Or if you surprise them. You reach under a rock or a log where they're hiding out of the heat of the day.
Or they're in your wood pile.
Or they're in
your
wood pile.
You reach into your wood pile to get a log for some reason. Yep.
While their bites are painful, they are very rarely fatal.
Now, okay, you get a snake bite, come straight down to the emergency room. Don't you pump them up with some kind of snake, anti-snake venom or snake venom stuff?
We do if it's necessary.
Oh, really? So it may not be necessary to do that?
No.
That means we have 1 minute left.
Oh, so a certain amount of bites, there is no venom injected.
An adult rattlesnake can either inject or not, but the baby rattlesnakes, they turn it all loose.
Well,
I've heard that.
There is an old saying that baby rattlesnake bites are more dangerous because they can't control their venom. But if you think about it, they have a very little amount.
Okay. So, hey, Larae Sullivan, I've got to cut you off here because, and you were going to leave 10, 15 minutes ago. Larae Sullivan, who is the Shasta Regional Trauma and Disaster Coordinator, we talked about influenza, vaccinations, concerns that we have for the future, which is flu and all this. And we really appreciate you being on today.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, we're more than happy. Now, tomorrow we have the executive director of the Fish and Game Commission going to be on the show. And so put on your wolf costumes and we can talk about endangered species. Carl and DeBott, remember, good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
But I won't back down.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Captured by the U.S., a Libyan terrorist accused in the deadly 2012 attack on the American consulate in Benghazi. The Pentagon reports the capture of the man, marking the first time the U.S. has apprehended one of those accused of involvement in the deadly attack. Two people are dead in the wake of a storm that unleashed twin tornadoes on a tiny northeastern Nebraska farming town.
We basically lost a town yesterday.
Stanton County Commissioner Jerry Weatherholt talking about the destruction in the small town of Pilger.
It looks like some of the movies, the World War II movies and those towns in Europe, and it looks like a war zone. It really does.
He says Main Street's buildings are gone, along with half the homes. 5-year-old girl and a motorist were killed as a powerful storm pounded the area. The Senate's top Republican says that President Obama doesn't